The Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because a new calendar changes the Gospels every 3 years, we don't hear the typical one we're accustomed to. For those of you who are thinking it's a little off kilter, that's because the Gospel here in Luke presents the temptations in a different order. We're obviously accustomed to first the stone to bread, then the parapet of the temple, then he shows them all the kingdoms. But Luke inverts the second two for reasons that are only known to him and perhaps the Holy Spirit. So we should build off the reality of the temptations in general. Now the church puts these here for us for a reason. Anyone endeavoring to make spiritual progress, the devil is going to impede your progress to the best of his abilities. He's going to do everything in his power to make certain that you make no spiritual progress. And he does that in the same way that he did it with Christ and that he did it with Eve in the very first situation. This whole reality of the enemy lying must be understood and accepted. Everything he says, even if it's supposedly good, it's couched always in a lie. And because of our concupiscence and our bent towards sins, we tend to accept the lie and we tend to surrender to the temptation. So consider, the devil doesn't have original thoughts. He's so blinded by his own pride, he thinks he's absolutely perfect. This is why he has the audacity to tempt the Son of God. And the conviction is that he would know it's the Son of God because he was there at the theophany at the Lord's baptism. And so we can see at least he must have a suspicion because his temptations are designed specifically to counter the mission of salvation. Just as all his temptations for us are going to be designed to impede our spiritual progress. In Hebrew, the name Satan means enemy. The Greek word for devil, diabolos, means obstacle or one who opposes and obstructs. And so the devil does not want us to make spiritual progress. He does not want us to advance. Just like in this case, he did not want the mission of salvation, where he would lose his hold over humanity. He didn't want to lose the power. Hence, in his arrogance, he thinks he can divert Christ. And so he diverts Christ not from the mission of salvation, but by an easier mission of salvation. So the devil is smart enough to know, usually, unless we're totally insane, he's not going to tempt us to do something that is patently evil. He packages it as though it is good. And remember, he cannot obstruct or affect our free will. It's always ours. But that's why he's careful to couch things, lies in the truth, or to package evil as good. And we then give in with our own free will. Oh yeah, I agree, it is good. It is going to be good for me to do this. It's going to be pleasurable to steal this. It's going to be necessarily good for me to do this particular sin. It's going to be fun to do this sin against chastity. We convince ourselves and our own free will that it's good, because God created us to pursue that which is good. And that's why it's a sin, because we do it. No such thing as the devil made me do it. But he tempts us in the same way. This is why our Lord went to the desert in the first place. Do not think, as moderns do, that Christ is just a social justice warrior who went out there to starve, to be in unity with the poor and the hungry, and then the devil just horribly attacks him out of nowhere. No, he went to the desert to goad the devil into battle. Remember, the Hebrews believed the desert was where the devil lived because it was lifeless. And so therefore, and what life was there was always problematical and difficult. So therefore, the Christ goes to where the devil is, hence what he says of his church, that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. The gates of hell are on defense against the church, not the church as a fortress being battered by Satan. It's rather the reverse. The church is supposed to be the offensive weapon that is knocking down the gates of hell, which Christ did by making it possible for us to know eternal life. The devil will still try and is reaching a modicum of success in modern times because the way he's tempted clerics and the laity in the same way. For see, Christ brings the cross for salvation as is the mind and plan of God the Father. In our conceit, we always want to think that the Mass is about us, the Mass being offered to us. No, the principal recipient of the Holy Sacrifice of Mass is God the Father. And God the Son is offering to him, and God the Son wants us to be here, so does God the Father, for our best interest, because love is wanting what is best for the other. Drawing us into the life of the Trinity every time we're at Mass, since it is a representation of the one true sacrifice of Christ offered on Calvary Hill to God the Father and sacramentally present to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. We enter into the divine life of the Holy Trinity every time we're at Mass. But you see, that's what God desires. And so Christ always brings the cross. The devil always brings the stage. That is to say, entertainment. That is to say, something that is passive and easy. Either he tempts us to be center stage and make it all about us, or he tempts us to be in the front row watching everything go on and being entertained by it, but never really doing anything. Never really engaging. So many people walk through Lent blindlessly, which is why the devil usually leaves them alone, because they don't really embrace the opportunity that Lent gives you to detach from the world and reattach to God, to do away with sinfulness and habitual sins, to work towards salvation. You know you're having a bad Lent when the devil doesn't bother with you during Lent. You know you're having a good Lent when the devil begins fervently trying to obstruct you, trying to make it difficult, even increasing the amount of temptation and the amount of evil that you see. Because the last thing he wants is for you to be in greater communion with the Christ. What he wants is your destruction. And so he thinks in his arrogance that Christ is like him. People who are stuck in sin and obstinate in sin think everyone is doing the same sin. So the devil thinks that everyone is like him, wants to be center stage, wants it all to be on him. And unfortunately, there are too many men that are like that. But even those who sit in the front row to avoid any difficulty are in the end ultimately about being center stage too, just as defined by their needs. And so first he attacks Christ because he thinks Christ is weak because he hasn't eaten. Christ did not eat for 40 days and 40 nights. His divinity kept his humanity from dying. And this is the reality of how perfectly he enters into it. But he's also putting himself out there in that weakened state to goad the coward that the devil is into battle with him. Christ went out to wage battle with Satan in the desert, not to be a hapless victim. And so the devil in his arrogance believes that now that he's hungry, I can get him. Turn these stones into bread. And it's all part of him trying to tempt the Christ into making the messianic mission convenient for Christ, easy for Christ. Just like he tempts your average Catholic to believe Catholicism is about what makes you happy, what makes you feel good, what gives you the warm fuzzies, never challenges you, never drives you to anything, never obstructs you, never gets in your way. It's just there when you need it. Otherwise, it's irrelevant and doesn't inform your life in any way, shape, or form. And so many Catholics have put in their lot with that unfortunate gambit that's going to end with destruction of the soul in the fire pits of hell. Destruction meaning it's constant suffering because it'll never be destroyed. Marred by the reality of sin, to be sure. And so the whole line of temptations are on that same vein. Because he wants to make it easier for Christ. He wants Catholics to believe that the Catholic faith is just easy. That there's never to be a struggle. There's never to be suffering. There's never to be self-sacrifice. That's why so many Catholics have Lents that are meaningless. Okay, I give up fish on Fridays. Or I eat fish on Fridays, give up meat. But you're supposed to be doing that every Friday. The church never changed that rule. People thought it did. And they loved it, and they stopped eating fish on Friday. All kinds of rules that were never changed, people embraced because they wanted it easy. As the devil has always tempted us, the easy way is the best way. No, Christ brings the cross, humility, the cross, obedience, the cross, silence, the cross, self-sacrifice, the cross, authentic love. First and foremost for God the Father, which too many of us want to dismiss when we make religion easy. Because if you don't love God the Father, you can't possibly love your neighbor. So therefore, you would never sin with your neighbor. Those you claim to love, you never sin with them. If you really love them. If you love yourself, you sure will. Jump off the parapet of the temple. Why? Because when everyone sees the angels catch you, you'll convert them without having to suffer and die on the cross in that most ignominious manner. You won't have to be humiliated in front of the world and suffer in the most horrible way. It'll be easy. Just jump off the parapet of the temple. Everyone will see you and they'll be converted. Because all the religious people are going to be there at the temple. And our Lord's response is the same. Direct things back towards God the Father. Man does not live by bread alone. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Losing those two, the devil becomes quite impatient and he goes full throttle. Because this is the same, effectively the same lie he told Eve. If you eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you'll become like God. He tells the Christ, that bald-faced lie, all of these cities, the kingdoms of the world have been given to me, and I can give them to whomever I wish. No. God is the Lord of all. The devil is the prince of the world, not the king. And he's the prince because man chooses to give the devil power. The devil would have no power if man would not surrender to him. He'd be completely without influence and completely ineffective. He is the source of all evil, and man often chooses evil. And so therefore, he throws it all out there. All those kingdoms that you want to convert, all you have to do is worship me and they'll be converted to you. Because he's saying, in a lie, I will give these kingdoms to you. Therefore, you will be their Lord, their master, and you do it the easiest way possible. Just by worshiping me. Nobody will have to know. And of course, the devil always makes it known when he's being worshipped. Every Satan worshiper has to, at some point or another, do something publicly that demonstrates his worship of Satan. Typically, it manifests itself in they're wearing an upside-down crucifix that at first note you wouldn't notice, but then when you look closely, you see it's upside down. And so, he would have made it known that Christ had worshipped him, because he's a liar. But the bottom line is, it's all about making it easy. It's all about the stage. Whereas if you're a follower of Christ, it's about the cross. As our Lord says in the Gospel of Matthew, "Begone, Satan." When the Word made flesh speaks, the devil has to flee. And he has no doubt anymore, even though in his pride he doubted that God would become man. But after he hears those words, "Begone, Satan," from the Word himself, he flees in utter, abject terror. And as Luke communicates, he leaves Jesus for a time because he's ferociously mad. And this is why he begins his work with the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, appealing to their pride, convincing them that Jesus' cross is to their benefit and that the real Messiah would be the one who would come down and conquer all the Romans and conquer the world and put the Jews on top of the world. In other words, they fell for center stage temptation. They fell hook, line, and sinker, rejected the Christ, and paid the price with the destruction of the temple in 70 AD by the very ones they thought the Messiah was going to conquer. They had a false Messiah who lived and died after Christ, who proved to be quite wrong. And so think of how Lent is an opportunity to be aware of the antics of the devil and how he works in your own life with your own personal sins. And now is the time to follow the example of Christ. When the devil tempts you to do something that is sinful, be like Christ and acknowledge to the devil that God's will comes first. And then, when the temptations get serious, because most of your temptations are coming from your own flesh, When the temptations are coming from the devil, you know it because they are somehow out of the blue. They're not inward in your own sense. They're foreign, and they are relentless, and you can't do anything in your power to cause them to go away in your mind. Normally when you tempt yourself, you might have the tempting thought, but you put it aside. When the devil's doing it, you can't put it aside because he's relentless with it. The devil has the power to place thoughts in your head. And when you're vulnerable to him, he really does it. But if you're cooperating with him, you don't notice it. You think it's yourself. Whole other story. That's when you say, when it's demonic temptation, that's when you quote the Christ, "Be gone, Satan." In fact, you can do it in any temptation, even against when your own flesh is tempting you. "Be gone, Satan." Because as St. James says, when you confront the devil, he flees. But you have to confront him with Christ, not yourself, because you will lose if you take him on yourself. Just remember, Christ offers you the cross, the devil offers you a stage. Your temptations will reflect the stage mentality. You either want to be center stage, it's all about you, or you want to be out in front of the stage where you can just watch everything. You know, like so many Catholics entertaining themselves to death and never even involving themselves in the spiritual life. Catholics, perhaps even here, who don't really enter into the mystery of the Mass, but they just sit and casually observe, come up and take communion as though it's an ordinary thing, go back to their pew and think about what they're going to get for lunch after Father finally finishes preaching. Not really getting involved in the spiritual life. That's how the devil does it. Either makes you passive, watching everything, or he wants you to be the center of everything, and no one else matters, especially God. Recognize the antics of the enemy so that you can resist them, and recognize the power that Christ has given you by virtue of his taking on the devil in the desert and defeating him. Because it's his victory you share and not yours. It's his power you call down, not yours. All you need to say is, "Be gone, Satan," when he offers you center stage. But recognize saying no to yourself is indeed a cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.